Campaign 92. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News. This report sponsored by Countrywide Home Mortgage Loans.
I will not become a candidate.
Suddenly, the face of the 1992 presidential campaign has changed. Hard on the heels of the resignation of key aide Ed Rollins and an ABC News Washington Post poll showing a sharp erosion of support, Texas billionaire Ross Perot has bowed out.
I believe it would be disruptive for us to continue our program, since this probe would obviously put it in the House of Representatives and be disruptive to the country.
Perot noted what he called the revitalization of the Democratic Party as one factor in his decision, adding,
throughout this effort, we have said repeatedly that our objective is to improve our country, not disrupt the political process.
Reporter Barry Bagnato has the first reaction from Bill Clinton's camp.
Clinton's campaign advisors are huddling with the nominee, formulating a response to Perot's surprise announcement. During this Democratic convention week, when momentum appears to be moving toward the Arkansas governor anyway, Perot's decision can only help give him at least a temporary boost in the polls.
And again, Ross Perot has dropped out of the 1992 presidential race without ever formally declaring his candidacy. Campaign 92, I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
We welcome, we being the Bush campaign, welcome the Perot supporters, and we'll work hard for their support. Not very surprisingly, every office which I talk to at the Bush campaign or at the White House, just about everybody was glued to the TV set watching the Perot news conference as it was going on. In fact, while I was talking with Mr. Fitzwater, White House Chief of Staff Sam Skinner was on the phone telling the president, who's still out in Wyoming fishing, about what Mr. Perot was announcing. Excuse me. And so you can see where their attention was focused. Now the question is, what are they going to do about it? Well, Mr. Fitzwater says that he thinks that the Bush campaign is the natural home for most of the Perot supporters. Naturally, that's the approach that the White House would take. Mr. Fitzwater, assessing the Democratic convention here, suggested that the Democrats have been trying to portray themselves as not being liberals and not being big spenders. Of course, the Democratic perspective would be slightly different than that. As for the two versus three-man race. The three-man race has always been a trouble for the Bush campaign, as it has been for the Clinton campaign, because it added so many variables, things that were unpredictable. But Mr. Fitzwater says two men or three, we're not taking anything for granted. Reed?
Thank you, Charles. Now, with us in the booth is David Gergen, a former communications director of White House's past, now with U.S. News and World Report, and very often a man who lends us his expertise. David, you have been close to the Perot camp of late, and I think you have some at least theories about what's really happening here, aside from the strange mathematics of it all.
Well, I think it's true, as Mr. Perot says, that he has felt close to Bill Clinton and Al Gore, and I do think he is supportive of them, and it will become more so during the campaign. But I think there's another important element to the story, Reed, and that is those close to Mr. Perot say that in the past few weeks he's felt very brutalized by the process that he entered. He had no idea what he was stepping into, and in particular, I think the press coverage in which the negative side has been so emphasized, that he feels that what's emerged is a caricature of who he is. The New York Times has been pounding on him, for example, and I think, you know, frankly, if he had known 6 months ago what politics was like and what it has become in this country, I'm not at all sure he ever would have gotten close to this race, but he does feel brutalized by the process.
Does this vindicate some of the Bush camp's prophecy about things?
Well, it's certainly true that within the Bush camp, one is now hearing the president is telling his people, I told you all along not to worry about Ross Perot, that this man was going to disintegrate, this wasn't going to happen. Barbara Bush has been saying publicly, once Americans get to know more about Ross Perot, this is not going to happen. I think it's going to reinforce the president's view, look, trust me to run the campaign the way I think we ought to run. We're going to have a 90-day campaign after our convention. We'll take care of Bill Clinton at that time. We'll flatten him the way we did Dukakis. Trust me to do it right. This is going to turn out just right. He thinks this in effect gives vindication to George Bush in the debates within his own campaign about how the campaign would unfold. There have been great debates within that campaign when many people in the campaign have been panicking, saying we've got to worry about Ross Perot, he's going to take it away from us, you've got to worry about Bill Clinton, and George Bush has been saying, let's be patient, this will work out just fine, trust me.
One of the guideposts of the Democratic strategists have been to keep Perot alive, keep hope alive, as Jesse says, and keep Perot alive too. What's happened here? What does this mean to the Clinton campaign?
Well, I think that the initial reaction to the Clinton campaign, of course, in the last few weeks, as Bill Schneider has been reporting here on CNN, a lot of the Democrats have been coming home and been leaving Perot. And I think this was also part of the problem that Perot was facing as his support went down. How you rebuild momentum was becoming an enormous problem. And then, of course, he didn't have a campaign staff to do it with. But so initially, I think that the Democrats benefit. But the concern of Democrats has been that the core Perot support, 12 to 15% of the electorate was really Bush people, former Bush people, and that they may now go back to George Bush. I think there's one other thing we have to take into account. There are going to be a lot of voters out there today, Reid, who are going to be very disillusioned and unhappy with politics, with Mr. Perot, with what's happening in our politics. Some are going to come to Clinton, some are going to come to Perot. A lot are going to stay home because I think they feel this system just isn't working. An outsider can't get in. It's not right that an outsider can't make this leap.
Have you had conversations with Ross Perot, personal conversations? Lately?
I talked to him twice last night.
Can you tell me last night, without violating any secrets, what he said?
Well, I have to say that I promised him I would, because some of the conversation was off the record, I promised I would not violate that. At the time, he said, I'm staying in at this point, but I sensed a tentativeness in his voice that told me that this was not going to last long. And I know just from talking to people around him that this has been a difficult ordeal for him. He does love those volunteers. He cares about them just the way he cares about the POWs. He is a great patriot, but I don't think he had any sense of how politics really works and what and the price a person pays. And we've seen Bill Clinton pay this price during this campaign. He got beat up a lot during this process. And I think one of the strengths of Bill Clinton is that he's bounced back and he stayed in the race and he's had this comeback. Now, George Bush has paid that price too. Our politics in this country is a very rough game. It is a contact sport.
Thank you, David, for letting us touch the ball there from the inside of the huddle.
Okay.
Susan?
CNN's Dan Blackburn is standing by live at Clinton headquarters a little bit later. Clinton is supposed to give a news conference. Dan, what's going on there right now?
Right now, Bill Clinton is meeting with his top aides on the 14th floor. There's an extensive discussion underway. They're talking about several things. First of all, they're taking a look at tonight's speech to see if they need to make some changes in that speech to incorporate the developments that have taken place this morning. They're also looking at strategy because initially they felt they needed Ross Perot in this race because they felt a three-man race was more winnable. Looking at what has taken place this week here at the Democratic Convention, and this may be a bit of euphoria factoring into it, but they feel they've gotten enough of a bump out of this convention already. They like what they're seeing in the polls. They think they'll be very competitive now in a two-man race. In addition, they think in terms of strategy that Ross Perot's withdrawal will bring George Bush out of the White House swinging much harder and much earlier. They expect an early, tougher, rougher two-way campaign now. So all of this is being worked into their new strategy. We do expect a statement from Bill Clinton later this morning around noon, probably to be delivered by his communications director, George Stephanopoulos. And with me right now is a man who once ran for president, former Arizona Governor Bruce Babbitt. Governor Babbitt, what do you think all this adds up to? You're from the Southwest. You know Ross Perot. You know voters in that part of the country. How does this shake down?
Dan, it's astounding news. I think Ross Perot has done a real service to the country by focusing the debate, the dissatisfaction with the status quo, the sense that we've got to make radical change. The Perot supporters where I come from are conservative on economic issues. They're libertarian. They're madder than hell. Now, the question is, where do they go? It's an opportunity for Clinton. It's basically anti-incumbent, but I think Clinton is going to have to move to incorporate some of those Perot, particularly the economic themes, about really basic and far-reaching change.
If Bill Clinton were to ask you up on the 14th floor what your most pressing advice would be, what would it be?
I would say, Bill, remember, this is anti-incumbent. This is people who are mad. Listen not just to the words, but to the music. You have to persuade the American people not only that they're tired of George Bush, but that they're ready for real basic economic change. I would say to Clinton, you got to move out of the center and strike a slightly sharper contrast with the president. That's Perot's constituency.
Bruce Babbitt, thank you very much. I'm Dan Blackburn, CNN live at Clinton headquarters. Now back to the booth at the convention.
Dan, thank you. And again, Bill Clinton, this story is changing. And the latest information that we have at this point is that Bill Clinton is not expected to address the media in person, but there will apparently be a written comment from him shortly. CNN will, of course, carry that live. Now, for further reaction, here's Reid Collins. Reid?
Well, let's find out what is going on outside of this this little shell in which we live here in the garden. What the question's already been posed. What happens to all those parole supporters and volunteers? Let's go to Jeff Flock now in Oklahoma City and maybe has an answer. Jeff?
Reed, for the last 20 minutes or so, the phone has been ringing here at Ross Perot headquarters in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We are told people are calling in, Perot supporters, saying, we can't believe it. We want him to stay in. Jamie Hurst is the Oklahoma director for Ross Perot. Jamie, give me a sense. What are you hearing and what are you thinking?
Well, our phones are ringing and all the calls we have is that we still want him to run. We want to show our support and we're going to still support Ross Perot for president.
You seem to be taking this reasonably well, are you?
Well, we've had several bumps, I guess, during this petition drive, and of course we hadn't started the campaign per se, and with the media attention that has been given, there has been some things that has come up, and we've learned to deal with them. We are, you know, upset about this, but we want to show him that we still want Ross Perot to run for president.
I want to ask you what you're going to do, and then I want to talk to those volunteers over there. Where do you go at this point? Bill Clinton, George Bush? Nowhere?
Well, right now I'm still for Ross Perot, and that's where I'll be staying right now.
Okay, let's take a look quickly at some pictures as the announcement was viewed here at Perot headquarters, if we have the pictures, and we're going to walk over here and try to talk to some more folks. Ma'am, what goes through your mind at this moment? What was going through your mind as you were watching?
I'm still for Ross Perot. I refuse to be put back in the position of having to vote against a candidate. Ross Perot was the first candidate that I've been able to actively vote for, and I intend to vote for him. I take this personally, being an MIA POW family member, because if Ross Perot is not in the president, our men will not come home.
Okay, Lorraine, I know you're another MIA.
Laverne,
I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. I feel just absolutely crushed that, and I'll still vote for Perot.
Okay.
I have been a Ross Perot supporter since the first time I ever met him, which was right after he took the medicines over to the men in Vietnam, and I'll always be a Ross Perot supporter.
Okay.
Cannot vote for Bush or Clinton.
All right. That is the word from Ross Perot headquarters here in Oklahoma City. We'll continue to watch it and let you know the phones continue to ring here. For now, I'm Jeff Flock, CNN, reporting live from Oklahoma City.
All right, Jeff, and we're now going back down to Dallas and the Perot headquarters where the announcement bombshell was just delivered, and CNN's Tony Clark is there. Tony?
Reed, I think bombshell is probably a good description of it. The reaction here has been everything from sorrow. You could see tears in the eyes of some of the Perot campaign workers, some of the volunteers as well. But there has also been some anger. Foreign Affairs advisor for Perot, Richard Fisher, said he was stunned by the decision. Some Arizona Perot volunteer officials were outside, and they said they were mad as can be. They said, why, how could Ross Perot do this to us? We've had people who have given up jobs, people who have worked long hours, worked very hard for Ross Perot, and he has simply left them hanging. And so there is a mixture of feelings here. Ross Perot, when he announced that he was not going to pursue the presidency anymore, he said that he had accomplished some of the things that he wanted. He got the other parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, to speak of issues that he wanted addressed, and he said the Democratic Party has begun to be revitalized. And he said as his reason was that with a revitalized Democratic Party, that the election would probably end up in the House of Representatives, and he didn't want that. But I think there are many people here who would suggest that there are perhaps other reasons. The last week has been very tough on Ross Perot and the campaign. It was on Saturday that he spoke to the NAACP. That was the first time he had spoken really to a group that was not filled with his volunteers, filled with his supporters, and he got at least a cool reception, in fact, in parts a hostile reception. At the same time, he was getting disagreement from campaign advisors, professional politicians, Ed Rollins, Hamilton Jordan. Rollins was upset because Mr. Perot would not go along with an advertising campaign that Mr. Rollins felt was important at the time. And so we have seen a continual chipping away at Mr. Perot. And I think that also played a part in that, that he was not expecting this kind of campaign. He was used to the cheers of the volunteers. And when it turned out to be something different, he was not ready to go the distance. I'm Tony Clark, CNN, reporting live from Perot headquarters.
Thank you, Tony. We will take a break. Our coverage continues right after this.
And we'll continue with more from CNN, Susan Rooks and Reed Collins on the announcement that Ross Perot has decided not to seek the race to run for president. Some of the news surrounding this controversy. The Texas billionaire says he has concluded that his running would have thrown the election into the House of Representatives, and he says the Democratic Party in the House would not have elected him. Perot says his goal was always to get the Republicans and Democrats closer to the people and make the government more responsive. He says the turmoil in his campaign was insignificant in his decision not to enter the presidential race. He says the key factor was the revitalization of the Democratic Party. He says he first said he would run for president. He thought he could win the race outright. And volunteers working for Ross Perot say they're shocked that he's decided not to run for president. Perot says he can't win a three-man race outright. He said if the race goes to the House of Representatives to decide, it would disrupt the country. In Ventura, California, a Perot supporter says the news is pretty devastating. He says he's been spending a lot of time working for the Texas billionaire. In New Hampshire, a volunteer says she feels like somebody kicked her insides out. She says she's near tears and she answers a flood of phone calls to the Perot headquarters in the state. Coming up later today on KCRW at 12:25, Newsstand features Front Page with Harvey Stromberg as he takes your calls on national and international issues. Our coverage of the Democratic National Convention continues at 1 with NPR's Talk of the Nation with John Hockenberry. Next at 2, Warren Olney talks with analysts and experts, including from the convention floor, Harold Morrison, host of KCRW's Local Politics, and Steve Roberts, senior editor of U.S. News and World Report on Which Way LA. Today's guest will be Richard Goodwin, former Democratic speechwriter. Today's weather calls for local dense fog near the coast early this morning, with areas of low clouds and fog near the coast through mid-morning. Otherwise, variable high cloudiness today. Highs 70 to 75 near the beaches, ranging to 90 to 100 in the valleys. Overnight lows in the 60s. And more news on the Perot decision not to run for president. Perot says he'll have people working with his volunteers who may feel let down after working to get his name on the ballot in all 50 states. He says he doesn't have any drive to be president, and he says he doesn't want to run if it will only hurt the country. He says throwing the race into the House would do just that. He says his volunteers can decide for themselves whether to go with Bush or Clinton. He says he's not making an endorsement. He also says the Democratic Party has revitalized itself. He says that means no candidate will win a majority in November if it's a three-way race, and that would throw the decision about the next president into the House of Representatives. He says he's trying to do what's right for the country. He says his intent has always been to improve the country, not disrupt the political process. In the months of his unannounced campaign, Perot says he spent about $10 million. He says the experience was worth it. He says it gives him a sense of comfort he didn't have about the country before. He says he's trying to do what's right for the country, even if some critics say he's a quitter. And he says he may continue to speak out on public policy. We now return to Susan Rooks and Reed Collins and CNN and their coverage of the Ross Perot announcement.
Madison Square Garden. I'm Reed Collins, along with my colleague Susan Rook, Bill Snyder, and Ken Bode to analyze the news that's not really taking place here, but far away in Dallas, Texas, where Ross Perot says no, he's not going to become a candidate for the presidency. And Susan, maybe we ought to explore the reasons given why.
Absolutely. Bill, let's start with you. Ross Perot has never been a declared candidate, and yet throughout this campaign, he has been treated as such. So now that he's announcing that he will not formalize his campaign and become a candidate, what does it do to George Bush and Bill Clinton and their campaigns in the political process now?
Well, Susan, I think in the first place, the short run, this is good news for Bill Clinton. Ross Perot said that the Democrats have revitalized their party. It's not an endorsement, but it comes pretty close. I mean, he's saying that what he's saying to his supporters is the Democratic Party is more responsible. They have a more conservative economic platform. We know the Perot supporters are more conservative on fiscal issues. And Clinton stands in line here to inherit the vote for change, the anti-status quo vote that Perot represented. In the long run, it's a lot harder to say. The conventional wisdom is this is good news for Bush. Let me explain what the polls have been showing about Perot. What they say is, if Perot had done well in the race in November, he would have hurt Bill Clinton, because most of his votes would have come at Clinton's expense. If Perot had done poorly in the race, down in the single digits, he would have hurt George Bush, because most of his votes would have come from Bush. Mm-hmm. So who he would have helped or hurt, who this helps or hurts, depends on how you believe Ross Perot would have done in the long run. As Ross Perot would say, you with me now? I mean, it's a little complicated. Most people assume that Ross Perot would have gone down in the polls. He was already going down in the polls. Mm-hmm. He would not have done terribly well, perhaps single digits. So therefore, the conventional wisdom is this is good news for George Bush in the long run. Now, there's one other factor here. Ross Perot could support Bill Clinton. He said he's going to end up consulting with his advisors. He's known to be close to Clinton and Gore, as Dave Gergen said a few minutes ago. If he turns out supporting Bill Clinton, if his people end up supporting Bill Clinton because they just don't want to see George Bush get reelected, in the long run, this could turn out to be good news for the Democrats.
How does all of this change the Bush strategy? Or at least, especially in the short run and in the long run? I guess it kind of depends on what Ross Perot and his volunteers decide to do.
Of course, the Bush strategy now, they think they have a clear field. They want to run straight ahead against Bill Clinton, and they think they know how to beat Bill Clinton. They're going to run against him as another tax and spend liberal, that this platform is really just window dressing and the Democratic Party really hasn't changed. They're going to run against his record as governor, and they're going to run against him on the character issues that surfaced in February and March. So they think they know how to run the campaign against Bill Clinton, just as the Republicans ran against Walter Mondale as a tax and spend liberal and against Michael Dukakis as someone who wasn't ready to be president.
And Fitzwater telling CNN's Charles Beerbauer just moments ago, these Perot supporters, we will work hard to get them in our camp, but we think that they belong here.
Well, those Perot supporters are bound to be bitter, disillusioned. We heard the MIA wife talk about this. I mean, the message to these people really is, put not your trust in eccentric Texas billionaires. I mean, the fact is, this guy has lifted them up. These people are bound to be angry. They're bound to be bitter. What we see here is that Ross Perot is not a professional politician. Mm-hmm. That is his strength. That is his weakness. His strength was, because he wasn't a professional, that appealed to a lot of people who said, we're disgusted with professional politicians. But also, he has been unable to bounce back from this brutal campaign. Bill Clinton got a taste of how brutal American politics is. He's a professional. He bounced back. Ross Perot apparently couldn't take it.
Bill Schneider, thank you. We will be hearing more from these wise men. Reed?
We'll be hearing more analysis of what is going on in the wisdom of Dallas and points north and south and west in a minute.
And we'll return to Susan Rooks and Reed Collins for more of coverage of the presidential race on CNN. You're listening to KCRW Santa Monica, a community service of Santa Monica College. Now, traffic update.
Good morning. This Metro traffic report made possible by the National Golfers Association. Sig alert for the westbound Gerald Desmond Bridge, which is closed at the Long Beach Freeway because of an accident involving several big rigs. Also right now, a Sig alert remaining until at least 9 a.m. for the eastbound San Bernardino Freeway before White Avenue. The right lane still closed because of an earlier fatal accident and the subsequent investigation. Eastbound Ventura Freeway, Tampa Avenue, non-injury crash, right shoulder. San Diego Freeway southbound before Valley Vista, stall in the number 3 lane. Greg Hardison for KCRW.
Here's a look at Southern California weather. Local dense fog near the coast early this morning with areas of low clouds and fog near the coast through mid-morning. Otherwise, variable high cloudiness today. Highs 70 to 75 near the beaches, ranging to 90 to 100 in the valleys. Overnight lows in the 60s. We'll be returning to CNN for more coverage of the announcement by Ross Perot that he won't be seeking the president, the office of president. This morning, he announced that he would not seek the office of president. He has concluded that his running would have thrown the election into the House of Representatives, and he says the Democratic majority in the House would not have elected him. We now return to CNN, Susan Rooks and Reed Collins. We'll be going to CNN in just a moment. Here's another update. There is no immediate reaction from Bill Clinton to Ross Perot's decision not to run for president. The Clinton campaign will hold a news conference possibly at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. That'll be 9:30 our time. Staffers now say Clinton himself may not be at the news conference. I think this should read 12:30 a.m. Eastern time. I don't think it would be 12:30 p.m. So it'd be 9:30 a.m. our time. Staffers now say Clinton himself may not be at the news conference, but may send a spokesman instead. The Arkansas governor accepts the Democratic presidential nomination tonight. Earlier today, he went for an earlier morning jog in New York City, where he was greeted by cheers and shouts of "Yo, Mr. President." Ross Perot says his goal was always to get the Republicans and Democrats closer to the people and make the government more responsive. Perot says the turmoil in his campaign was insignificant in his decision not to enter the presidential race. Perot says the key factor in his decision was the revitalization of the Democratic Party. He says when he first said he'd run for president, he thought he could win the race outright. He says he'll have people working with his volunteers who may feel left down after working to get his name on the ballot in all 50 states. Perot says he doesn't have any drive to be president, and he says he doesn't want to run if it will only hurt the country. He says throwing the race into the House would do just that. He says his volunteers can decide for themselves whether to go with Bush or Clinton. He says he's not making an endorsement. He says he's trying to do what's right for the country. He says his intent was always to improve the country, not disrupt the political process. In the months of his unannounced campaign, Perot says he's spent about $10 million. And he says the experience was worth it. He says it gives him a sense of comfort he didn't have about the country before. Perot says he's trying to do what's right for the country, even if some critics say he's a quitter. We now return to Susan Rooks and Reed Collins at CNN.
It will indeed. They were just cleaning up the confetti here when all of a sudden a great deal more material was cast down on the political scene. And we're in the process now of picking up after Ross Perot, as it turns out, who has done the deed in faraway Dallas, Texas.
Absolutely. Let's take a listen to that announcement.
Among ourselves and publicly, that we must win in November. We must win a majority of the electoral votes. As you know, if we cannot win in November, the election will be decided in the House of Representatives. And since the House of Representatives is made up primarily of Democrats and Republicans, our chances of winning would be pretty slim. Cannot win in November, and that the election will be decided in the House of Representatives. Since the House of Representatives does not pick the president until January, the new president will be unable to use the months of November and December to assemble the new government. I believe it would be disruptive for us to continue our program, since this would obviously put it in the House of Representatives and be disruptive to the country.
You have heard reaction from some Perot volunteers. There has been early White House reaction. For further reaction now, let's go to CNN's Mary Tillotson, who is standing by live in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Mary?
President Bush got the word about Ross Perot pulling out of the race that he never officially declared for in a phone call from Washington this morning from his chief of staff, Sam Skinner. Mr. Bush is in the second day of a fishing vacation with Secretary of State Jim Baker. We don't expect to hear from Mr. Bush himself, but his press spokesman, both in Washington and here in Jackson Hole, have put out the word that the Republican Party, that means the Bush race, the candidacy, is the natural home for those Ross Perot supporters and that they will be welcome. The question now, of course, is whether Mr. Bush can attract them to the fold. The administration spokesman here in Wyoming say that they fully understand that the voters who were siding with Ross Perot were expressing frustration, largely over the economy, that they've heard that message. They are going to try over the next 4 months to convince the persons who had been siding with Perot in this three-way race that in a two-way contest, George Bush is the man who should get their votes. A few weeks ago, when Ross Perot was riding so high, there were some Republican strategists in the Bush camp who were suggesting he was hurting Mr. Bush most, especially in Republican strongholds like Southern California. This now changes the math entirely as Mr. Bush tries to keep those people voters in his column come November. Mary Tillotson, CNN Live, Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Thank you, Mary. And we have just received a late word that Ron Brown, chairman of the DMC, the Democratic National Committee, will have a news conference at 1 o'clock Eastern. That's about an hour from now. CNN will, of course, carry that live. Reed?
Thank you, Susan. And we're pleased to greet Governor Michael Dukakis, who's been patiently sitting by here with us and listening to what is a real breaking story from a man whose heart may have been broken just a tad by the treatment that he got, even venturing forth toward the declared candidacy. You know how it is running a campaign as the nominee of a major party. Do you think politics has gotten so rough that even a man with a hard, flinty character of a Ross Perot can't get into it?
Well, it's always been tough, Reed, and there's nothing quite like running for the presidency. I mean, even those of us who've been successful at running for a governorship of the United States Senate only have a taste of it, and it's like night and day. And I think there were times during the primary when Bill Clinton was open and candid and said, you know, this is like nothing I've ever experienced. So we all go through that. And if you haven't had the experience, even in the minor leagues or AAA or whatever it is that we hope we're all at before we run for the presidency, it's even tougher. The one thing I'm concerned about here is what happens to the Perot volunteers. I mean, these were good, decent citizens who are attracted to his candidacy. And I would simply say to them as strongly as I can, don't get out of it now. I mean, don't be so disappointed that you're going to walk away from this. This country needs every good, decent, caring citizen we can to get into this process. And needless to say, I hope Bill Clinton and Al Gore are the people they're going to be supporting, but by all means, stay in this and don't let this discourage you.
Governor, what do you think of the reasons that are set forth by Ross Perot? His scenario of having it thrown into the House of Representatives via a stymie in the Electoral College is a victory for what he was attempting to do. That would be a signal victory, would it not, if he managed to do that much? And here he suddenly begins to contemplate what might be the very best he could do and says that won't do.
Well, I'm sure there were other reasons, Reed, as well. It wasn't going well for him. You know, I started campaigning in the spring of 1987, and it took us several months to put the campaign together, to develop our positions and so forth, and here he was, and people were saying, where do you stand on every one of 62 different issues? I mean, this is difficult. But beyond that, my impression of Ross Perot is that he's not only been a very successful businessman, but he also is somebody who cares very deeply about his country and has been involved in public affairs to an extraordinary degree. And I think he takes that responsibility seriously, and if he doesn't think he has a real shot at this, does not want to see it thrown in to the House of Representatives. And in that sense, I admire the guy, and I respect him for his decision.
Let's put yourself again in the place of the nominee, and you're up there in that suite, and you're looking over the speech, and you look down there.
You've got to revise it.
Huh? What do you do? What do you do, and who? How do you fix it?
Well, I'm the last guy that ought to be offering advice to Bill Clinton. If I knew something about running for the presidency, Reed, I'd be talking to you as a candidate for re-election. But I've known Bill Clinton for 15 years, and he's one of the three or four best people I have ever worked with in public life. And if you ask the governors of this country, Republicans as well as Democrats, they'll tell you the same thing. So I don't have any doubt that he's going to do a terrific job tonight. And, you know, he has a right to feel very good about where he is after the kind of bashing he went through. I mean, this guy isn't a guy that can take a punch. He can take 1,000 punches. And it's no secret to those of us who have known him. I mean, he's tough and resilient.
We're still in the mid-rounds.
But I would guess, and look, you all know at least as much, if not more than I do about this, I would think that he's got a great opportunity now to reach out to these thousands and thousands of people who are obviously angry, frustrated, sick and tired of the gridlock in Washington, clearly don't want George Bush back, but have to be persuaded that Bill Clinton and Al Gore are the people for the job. And this is a tremendous opportunity for these two guys, particularly as they come out of what I think we all have to agree has been a very good convention. And thanks to Ross Perot, 4 or 5 weeks where Bill Clinton had an opportunity to reintroduce himself to the American people without being subject to the kind of attack campaign that almost certainly would have started the day after the California primary had Bush and the people around him not been so obsessed with Perot. And for that, we have Ross Perot to thank.
Thank you, Governor. That's some insight that a lot of people probably have just met for the first time. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me.
We are still waiting for a written statement from Clinton headquarters here in New York. When we get that, we will, of course, bring it to you live. And we should tell you that the Ron Brown news conference scheduled for 1 o'clock has now been moved back to 12:45. CNN will, of course, carry that live. We will take a break. Our coverage continues right after this.
And we'll return to CNN with their coverage of the presidential race with Susan Rooks and Reed Collins. This is KCRW Santa Monica, a community service of Santa Monica College. Now a traffic update.
Good morning. This Metro traffic report made possible by Standard Brands. Sig alert canceled San Bernardino Freeway eastbound before White Avenue. The right lane has been reopened. You're still slowing through that area. All of that was closed all morning long because of an investigation into a fatal accident. Sig alert canceled in Long Beach. The Gerald Desmond Bridge westbound. All lanes are open. Earlier accident involving several big rigs has cleared. Right now on the Ventura Freeway westbound past Orange Grove Avenue, we have a stalled car that's receiving some help. And Golden State southbound at Alameda, 3-car non-injury crash in the right lane. I'm Greg Hardison for KCRW.
Recapping our story this morning, Ross Perot has decided not to seek the office of president. He announced it this morning shortly after 8 o'clock. He's concluded that the election would have been thrown into the House of Representatives, and he says the Democratic majority in the House would not have elected him. He says his goal was always to get the Republicans and Democrats closer to the people and make the government more responsive. There's been no immediate reaction from Bill Clinton to Ross Perot's decision not to run for president. The Clinton campaign will have an announcement this morning. Staffers now say Clinton himself may not make the announcement himself. The Arkansas governor accepts the Democratic presidential nomination tonight. Earlier today, he went for a morning jog in New York Central Park, where he was greeted by cheers and shouts of, "Yo, Mr. President." Ross Perot says he'll have people working with his volunteers who may feel let down after working to get his name on the ballot in all 50 states. He says he doesn't have any drive to be president, and he says he doesn't want to run if it will only hurt the country. He says throwing the race. We're going to return to CNN now with Susan Rooks and Reed Collins.
And so the word is getting around that Ross Perot has said no to the possibility of becoming a candidate. Let's now go to the headquarters of the Clinton campaign. And Mr. Stephanopoulos, a spokesman for Bill Clinton, has something to say.
In fact, it amplifies the call for change that has gone out across this nation. People are tired of government that has failed them, that has taxed them more and given them less for 12 long years. Millions of people are telling us all that it's time for change and that they're willing to work to take their country back. Mr. Perot has said many times that this movement is bigger than any individual or
this
any
is George
candidacy.
Stephanopoulos, Bill
it is a
Clinton's communications
of the
director.
American people's deep quest for change. Ross Perot's supporters have told all of us that it's time to go beyond the politics of blame and division and denial. They reflect the energy and the courage that the people of this nation, at their best, can harness when they know change must come. We have heard their message and share their hopes. I ask them to give us a fair hearing, to read our plan for putting people first. I invite them to join us in our efforts to change this country and give our government back to the people. I have no idea. All we know is that Governor Clinton's going to go out there today and tell the American people, all the American people, his plans for changing the country and moving it forward.
And is he rewriting the speech to incorporate some appeal to the Perot followers?
He's going to make an appeal to all the American people.
But the point is, has it been rewritten since the Perot announcement?
He's going to work on his speech this afternoon.
Has the governor tried to get in touch with Mr. Perot? Does he have any plans to try to talk with the Democrats?
Governor spoke with Mr. Perot a short while ago. They had a good conversation. Mr. Perot explained his decision. The governor told him that he was moved by a statement that he admired his campaign and the work of his volunteers.
Today is sort of a nightmare scenario for you because Perot bowing out today is going to, in a lot of ways, bury down Clinton's speech tonight. That's bad news.
Are you kidding? Governor Clinton's going to accept the Democratic nomination for the President of the United States tonight and make his call for change.
So sorry, you sure?
Do you think it's less than coincidental, though, that Ross Perot should choose today to make this announcement as he surges in the polls and the headlines?
I don't think the political calculation had anything to do with Ross Perot's announcement.
George, how's
the
change of Southern strategy?
I don't know.
Two parts. One, is Governor Clinton for federal funding for abortion?
Governor Clinton has said throughout this campaign that he is for federal funding for abortion in the context of a national health care plan.
There's a report of a contradiction. Last April, he told Gabe Pressman that he was against the Right to Life Amendment in Arkansas in 86. That would cut off federal funding for abortion. Yet a letter has just emerged that he wrote to the Right to Life Committee in Arkansas that he supported the amendment, saying he supports the rights of the unborn child from conception to birth.
I just told you Governor Clinton's position.
Does this validate your decision not to attack Mr. Perot?
I don't know. I mean, that's just politics. What we know is that Ross Perot has made an unselfish decision. His supporters have made a valiant call for change, and we're moving forward. Governor called Perot. Thank you.
And so George Stephanopoulos has read a statement from the Clinton camp, which is essentially an invitation to all those disaffected, disappointed people who were supporting Ross Perot to come on over, and I invite them, as he puts it, to join us. Question, I suppose, Susan Brook, is will they or won't they?
Let's ask that question to Reverend Jackson. Join us now. What is your reaction, first of all, that Ross Perot picked today to make this announcement, and your reaction to what he said?
Well, for us, it's deja vu. We had a 17-point lead this time 4 years ago. Secondly, we know that two of every three Perot supporters were Republicans. They may still like Bush and the Republicans, but they cannot afford Bush and the Republicans. By and large, these people were leaving Bush because of promises unkept, not just a reading his lips tax hike, but that 10 million people unemployed. Mm-hmm. And plants are closing, and so the $4 trillion debt, the $400 billion deficit, in Perot, they saw at least someone they thought could fix the economy. The assumption was that Bush can't fix it, but Perot, by being the industrialist, may have had some idea on how to fix the economy. He never came forward with that plan, and that's why I think Clinton was beginning to ease in and add pressure to Perot, because at least by putting out a plan, he began to close that vacuum.
Clinton is way ahead in the polls at this point. The most recent poll showing Perot with only 20%. So what happens to the Perot supporters now? If we heard from Jeff Flock in Oklahoma City talking to some of the supporters there, the volunteers, very disappointed. They appear to be a little bit shell-shocked at this point. But one woman said, "I don't like Bush and I don't like Clinton." How does the Democratic Party bring the Perot supporters in to the Democratic Party, Because they're liable to just say, we're sitting this
by
one out.
By putting forth an economic plan that's an alternative to their pain and their fears. After all, these, when we think about the Democratic platform, the Clinton-Gore ticket is a commitment to increasing minimum wage and indexing it. That's a step in the right direction. A commitment to cut the military budget without cutting defense to begin to reinvest in our country. That appeals to them in a very special way. A universal head start for their children. I mean, the focus on children and a revitalized economy has to be a solution to much of their economic anxiety and fear.
You are a political expert, and I'd like to get your thoughts on strategy now at this point. What do the Democrats need to do as far as strategy? And not talking about issues and content, but as far as strategy, what are you looking for from Bill Clinton and his campaign?
In the three-person race, you had the Barrow buffer. I mean, Bush felt very threatened by his presence because he was taking votes from him. Now we put Gore on the ticket, it seemed, a very able campaigner, but in part because Bill Clinton had been showing votes in the teens among white voters in the South. Let us not forget, there are more white Republicans than white Democrats in the South. So white Democrats are a minority in the South. Gore was sent to shore up that minority vote. But eight Southern senators are senators because more than 55% of their raw vote was the black vote. Therefore, the need for the white-black coalition to lift up that coalition on a common ground economic agenda is more critical now than it was 2 hours ago.
Reverend Jackson, thank you very much for coming in and joining us. We will take a break at this point. Our coverage continues. When we come back, we'll be going back to Tony Clark at Perot headquarters in Dallas. Stay with us. We'll continue.
And we'll return to CNN in just a moment with Susan Rooks and Reed Collins. This is KCRW Santa Monica, a community service of Santa Monica College. The time is 9:20. This morning, Ross Perot made an announcement that he will not enter the presidential race. He says the turmoil in his campaign was insignificant in his decision not to enter the race. Perot says the key factor in his decision was the revitalization of the Democratic Party. He says when he first said he'd run for president, he thought he could win the race outright. A reaction from the White House. The White House says President Bush welcomes any and all supporters of Ross Perot to support Bush now. Bush is on a fishing trip in Wyoming, but he was hastily called with the news that Perot will not run for president after all. Presidential spokesman Marlon Fitzwater says the development is good because it unlocks a large segment of voters. And he says the Bush people think a lot of those voters will back the president. Democrats say they hope Ross Perot's decision not to run for president will help them. Perot announced today he will not seek the White House after all. Word spread quickly among the delegates at the Democratic Convention in New York City. Missouri Party Chairman Gene Bushman said he thinks it will be a boost for Bill Clinton, who accepts the Democratic presidential nomination tonight. Bushman says Perot was calling for change, the same as Clinton. Clinton delayed a visit to the convention hall to rehearse his speech. Instead, he watched Perot's announcement on TV. Ross Perot says he'll have people working with his volunteers who may feel let down after working to get his name on the ballot in all 50 states. Perot says he doesn't have any drive to be president, and he says he doesn't want to run if it will only hurt the country. He says throwing the race into the House would do just that. He says his volunteers can decide for themselves whether to go with Bush or Clinton. He says he's not making an endorsement. Ross Perot says he's trying to do what's right for the country. He says his intent has always been to improve the country, not disrupt the political process. In the months of his unannounced campaign, Perot says he spent about $10 million, and he says the experience was worth it. He says it gives him a sense of comfort he didn't have about the country before. He says he's trying to do what's right for the country, even if some critics say he's a quitter, and he says he may continue to speak out on public policy. We'll be right back. Coming up later today, following our coverage of the Ross Perot announcement, Chris DeRedis will host Morning Becomes Eclectic with his special guest, editor and publisher of Spin Magazine, Bob Guccione Jr. At 12:25, Newsstand features Front Page with Harvey Stromberg as he takes calls on national and international issues. Our coverage of the Democratic National Convention continues at 1 with NPR's Talk of the Nation with John Hockenberry. At 2 o'clock, Warren Olney talks with analysts and experts, including from the convention floor, Harold Morrison, host of KCRW's Local Politics, and Steve Roberts, senior editor of U.S. News and World Report on Which Way L.A. Today's guest will be Richard Goodwin, former Democratic speechwriter. We now return to CNN and Reed Collins.
It is that Ross Perot has announced that he's not going to become a candidate. We're going to try to get some of the answers from the man himself. Mr. Perot will be the guest on Larry King Live tomorrow night at 9 again. Meanwhile, let's go back to the Perot headquarters, or what were headquarters for something, and CNN's Tony Clark. Tony.
Reed, the announcement came as a surprise to many people. In fact, some of those that have been working most closely with Ross Perot over the last few weeks and months, felt that they had something going, that they had an opportunity with Mr. Perot to stress certain issues. Richard Fisher is the national, or rather the foreign affairs advisor for Mr. Perot. How did you react when you first heard the news that he was not going to continue in the race?
Well, with disappointment, because we have some important things to do in the foreign policy world. We have to reconstruct the whole architecture of our foreign policy because we have new circumstances. The Cold War's over, et cetera. And Ross was a vehicle, and a fine one, by the way, to get that done. The next president will have to deal with a lot of issues. And he was willing to think about these things almost from a zero-based standpoint.
Richard, do you feel let down because this was one of the things, it was just about a week ago that you met with other volunteers and were kicking around a variety of ideas about policy, international policy for Mr. Perot?
I'm let down, yes, in the sense I think the volunteers are the people who are really let down. But from the standpoint of policy, yes. John White, for example, who is the issues director, has been doing the budget and the financial and economic issues, has put together a first-rate program in a way that no politician's been willing to talk about it. What we were doing in terms of structural reform, from the National Security Council to the United Nations to NATO, only Ross Perot could have delivered that effectively as a great salesman and as a new force in world politics. So we're let down in that sense, yes, quite disappointed. On the other hand, I admire the man. I think he's done something very constructive here. I wish he had pressed it to the end.
How did you learn about his decision?
I learned it last night in a way that was rather unusual. I learned it from Ed Rollins very late. And then this morning, formally, there was a group of us that got together with Tom Luce very early, and that's when it was finally made clear.
Mr. Rollins indicated that you could make other plans.
I had a small tiff yesterday with an important advisor to us, which is Paul Nitza, and I was concerned about it. Ned came into my office just before his news conference and said, why don't you go home and go swimming or go play tennis? And he said, you'll be in better shape for tomorrow. And that's when I sort of had a sense of what might be coming.
There is irony, though, as I think most people know, there was a concern. Former U.S. arms negotiator Paul Nitza had indicated he was not going to be an advisor to Mr. Perot. And you all talked yesterday and kind of convinced him to come back into the fold.
Yes, Paul's a wonderful fellow. I had written him a letter yesterday morning. He called me very graciously and said it was a beautifully written letter that he had decided he would not withdraw from our committee. And in fact, we talked again last night before I could tell him about this and before really any of us really knew officially. So God bless him. I appreciate his support. He's a magnificent human being.
Richard Fisher, thank you very much. The irony that Paul Nitza was going to come back to the campaign and the campaign is no longer in existence. I'm Tony Clark, CNN, reporting live from Perot headquarters.